Hi, my name's Nick. I'm 42 years old. I came across this information when my school friend Rick Biggs introduced it to me when I was 19. Today I'm here to talk about my affirmation about this breakthrough understanding of the human condition that's occurred. And I thought I'd structure the talk in two parts. Firstly, I just want to go over the information a bit, and secondly, talk a bit about my experience of encountering this information and how it's completely transformed my life. So just to go over the information a bit already, obviously that's been, presented on our website perfectly. I just wanted to go over it as it's the underpinnings of this new product, which is the transformed state. And there are four themes I just wanted to draw out of it. Firstly, that the information actually is true. It actually is the exonerating, compassionate, healing, transforming explanation of the human condition. It's our species story and represents just a mind-bogglingly exciting breakthrough. Secondly, that it's been a case of all the truth being gotten up at once. So we've gone from a position of having just virtually no truth about our condition, and so I've necessarily been living in complete denial of it to cope, to suddenly having the whole explanation up. So that's a shock. And it also makes the information extremely confronting to us. And thirdly, that because the information is very confronting, the answer to the question, what do we do about this, is not confront it any more than is necessary just to verify it's true, and to just support it. And its unabashed truthfulness and compassion and honesty and strength will do the work of transforming the individual and so the world. And fourthly, I wanted to talk about resignation. So it was understanding those sort of four things that really helped me understand just what's going on and help me us cope with the arrival of this, and then beyond that, not only cope but take up the absolutely all your dreams come true. Impossible to describe how good it is, attitude and way of living that this information allows for existing generations of humans. So just to flesh out that first theme of about just go through the information a little bit. The information's obviously all there in Jeremy's books and videos and presentations, set out beautifully and perfectly for the world. And what it lets you understand and see is that the human story has fundamentally been one from ignorance to enlightenment, and all the while living with this unbelievably difficult equation of being criticised for doing that, for searching for knowledge to make us enlightened and not ignorant. And as Jeremy explains in the Adam Stork story, our story has not just been one of having to defy the ignorance of our instincts, but our instincts were the most magnificent, perfect orientation to love and selflessness. And not only that, our instincts also represent the godly ideals. So as Immanuel Kant said, there are two things that fill me with awe: the starry heavens above us and the moral awe within us. And we all know how amazing God is. So we were on an absolute hiding for nothing. It wasn't just a case of one-on-one. We were outnumbered 3 to 1, and it's been going on for 2 million years. It's just been the most amazing, against all odds, story. Like Jeremy's said, it will probably be beyond the reach of anyone to ever describe the pain, difficulty, heroism, and utter magnificence of what embattled humans, along with their innocent prophets, have endured and achieved. The Adam Stork story is our true story. If nurturing was the prime mover in humanity's primate past, I suppose it could be said that the Adam Stork story has been the prime mover in humanity's conscious adolescence. That's been the bottom line driver in all of human life for 2 million years, and its influence just saturates everything, all situations, all people, for all time. So if you want to understand your story, it's just a part of the human story, and it's all okay. It was all for the right reasons. A defiant conscious mind seeking to find knowledge, guided by underneath it all our beautiful soul, but also condemned to kingdom come by its ignorance, its orientation to the ideals, and by God. It's our true story. We are just beyond upset. We are just so volcanically angry, egocentric, and alienated. But we are immense heroes. The just incredible thing about that story is that it finally articulates and irrefutably rationally explains the incredible paradox of the human situation, of how could we be good and worthwhile when we are just so volcanically upset and seemingly bad. It finally explains the feeling in us that we're not banishing deserving evil blights on the planet, but immense heroes. that defiance of the ideals and the upset that unavoidably went with that was exactly what was required of the human race. There was no avoiding it. We had to have the courage to do it and endure it. And what is just so extraordinary is that it was all for the right reasons. Ultimately, it was our love of the true world, of our beautiful lost soul, and the rediscovery of that in the future that has now arrived, that drove humans through our adolescence, because it was only through finding knowledge, with the price of finding that knowledge being to become upset, to find the ultimate knowledge being that of the human condition, could all the suffering, pain, upset, angst, unhappiness, etc. be brought to an end, and humanity return to its fabled Garden of Eden state. So our story is not just a story of flying off course like Adam Stork. It's also a story of being triply condemned for doing so. Our upset was just unavoidable. And it was going to be extreme and intense, and it has been and it is. And that's why we are just so incredibly upset, psychologically messed up creatures. What we had to endure was just so unfair and just so immensely unfair. Our response to it, our upset, and the colossal extent of it is the true measure of our courage. It's just amazing that the seemingly most simple exercise of searching for knowledge could lead to such an all-out war. And you can see that it was just a lack of knowledge and understanding that led to our immensely embattled state. And that once we find the explanation, the criticism stops, the two parts of us can be reconciled, and our ego can calm down. So the human journey was part of God's plan after all. It's true. We're good and not bad after all. And we can finally, through all the efforts of and on behalf of all the humans who have ever lived, stand triumphant and say, I am upset and I'm good, and I can explain to you why. And that explanation is as clear and as obvious and as true as, to use another fundamental truth about our world, the truth of gravity. Gravity exists, it explains the movement, whatever it does, of bodies in relation to one another. It's just a fundamental truth about our world. And similarly, this biological explanation that Jeremy Griffith has synthesized is just as fundamental and as basic and as true as what gravity is. And the battle to validate ourselves is all over. As Martin Luther King said, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. So, you know, can you believe it? So the information is there for people to evaluate and check out, but I'd like to say that I can't find the words to describe how true, profound, and magnificent it is. The goodness that it brings about by solving the human condition is just so immense and exciting that it's nearly too much to bear. It's impossible to describe the magnitude of the breakthrough. The nearest words that I've seen are these that appeared from someone on the internet in a review of one of Jeremy Griffith's books, where they said, "Tears stream down my face, so overcome have I been by this book. It is the greatest book on the planet, no wait, in the universe. In fact, it is the greatest anything in the universe." Or as Jeremy has explained, denial-free thinking has always been the purest form of love the human race has ever known. Einstein said that truth is what survives the test of experience. As we are the subject of this information, this biological explanation of the human condition, we are in a position to personally test its validity, not only through independently verifiable scientific observations and evidence, but also through our own experience. And because humanity's journey has been a psychological one, and because we each in our own lives go from being instinct-controlled creatures to conscious, so we go on the same psychological journey the whole human race has been on, so we're very well equipped to know its truth or otherwise as it applies to ourselves and the whole human race. The second theme in the information that I wanted to talk about is that because the human condition wasn't an issue that we have ever been able to openly discuss, because we've never been able to understand it, It's been, and it was always going to be a case of just getting the truth up all in one go. So basically there's this completely off-limits subject, off-limits because it was just too confronting while we couldn't understand it, that has all of a sudden been reefed from our deepest awareness to right out in the open. And it was always going to have to be like that. It's dead set like being in a dark room, not being able to see anything, and just having to grope around to the lights in one instant just being turned on. That being an analogy for the fact that we've lived in such deep, deep fear of and denial of the issue of the human condition for eons, to it all of a sudden being explained and therefore out in the open. So you need to stay steady on your feet psychologically, and it makes sense that initially, if you've got a history of psychological instability, to keep a distance that's safe, at least initially. So while the finding of the understanding of this information has been the holy grail of the human journey and just beyond exciting that it has been found, it does come as a great shock because we are just so completely saturated and full of the human condition and equally in denial of that to cope. We've been so completely owned by it and victim to it. We are just so upset, so embattled, so historically condemned and confronted by the ideals and so in denial of all of that. So it comes as a great shock. And that shock is naturally going to take some time to adjust to. And because this is an adjustment from a terrible, but because it's an adjustment from a terrible negative to an incredible positive, the time taken to get over the shock and make the adjustment will get quicker and quicker. It has been and it will continue to be for a little while a pioneering journey, but as we say, if not us, then who? And if not now, then when? And gladly and enthusiastically participate in what can appear at first to be a daunting frontier, but really is the most exciting ever of frontiers. And because it's logic-driven, you're on safe ground. You can just get on with your day, your life as best you can, following the logic that's in front of you at a pace that you can cope with. And because this is such a previously off-limits subject, a lot of your realisations happen subconsciously and you only later catch up with them consciously. The third theme of the information I'd like to talk about is that we can't hope to heal all of or even virtually any of our upset in our lifetimes. And besides, even if we could, it would take so much therapy and counselling, etc., that we just don't have the time or resources for. And there's so much suffering in the world that needs ending and new generations that need this, and so that's the priority. This information is just perfect science. It's also perfect philosophy and heaps of other things too, but it just perfectly describes what's been happening in the human journey, what is happening and what will happen when humans respond to it rationally, which ultimately, because we are rational creatures, we will. Jeremy Griffith didn't invent the human condition. He didn't invent the fact that generations who are going to be there at the end of the journey would be completely embattled, upset, resigned and worn out. It's just the facts, it's just the truth. And having the truth is the only chance the human race has got. So our upset can't be fixed or healed. The information is enormously beneficial to us to cope with our personal circumstances, but it's future generations who will be free of upset. But what we can do, and this is completely sensible and rational, is not overly confront this information, but just investigate it sufficiently to establish it is the truth and then support it, and it will do all the work. Its dissemination will help everybody, and helping everybody will fix up the world. And what you discover is that being able to legitimately, responsibly, sensibly and lovingly put down the sword of battling to validate yourself and take up support of this information is just the most thrilling, exciting thing to be able to do, that it is just beyond description. What you discover is the revelation that it's not our upset that is necessarily a problem, just this colossal volcanic upset. It's our inability to understand it. And so while we are still upset, being able to understand where it all came from completely transforms our lives. Then the fourth theme was a very important aspect of how we coped with the human condition while we couldn't understand it, being a phenomenon that Jeremy's called resignation, which is a psychological adjustment that without understanding of the human condition we were forced to make. So to talk about resignation, the situation to date is that what has been happening is that you're born into the world expecting it to be ideal, but then discover it's not, and also that you are personally not ideal, but highly imperfect. In fact, carrying huge elements of anger, indifference, and selfishness. So at some point, usually in our teenage years, to cope with the reality of the world and your upset reality, you have to give up on the ideals and adjust to reality, a process Jeremy has termed resignation. In fact, Jeremy explains that resigning requires three elements. Three elements. So blocking out the truth of your upset reality, so the truth of who you really are, blocking out the truth that the idea of the ideals, that they exist and that they're true, and just forever thereafter, just focusing on seeking superficial reinforcement for yourself, a win or just anything to get some relief from the implication that your condition means you're bad. So just to flesh this out a bit more, because resignation is so important to understand. So we come into the world expecting it to be ideal, expecting it to be unconditionally loving, but the world's not. It's massively upset because of this heroic battle that humanity is waging. And because children are innocent, they've got no awareness of the full horror of what being a resigned adult human is like. And because adults can't be honest about their state because they can't understand it or explain how they became so, children, in their innocence and in their generosity, blame themselves for any lack of love they experience, that they aren't worthy of love, that they are unlovable and bad. So that's a terrible thing to seemingly have evidence about yourself, and that hurts children immensely. And children, in their innocence, fight back with everything they have to prove they're worthwhile. So such hurt and emergence of egocentricity upsets our soul, which fuels the criticism, which leads to more defiance and more criticism. And so the human condition has been passed to the next generation. So if we come into the world expecting it to be ideal, but it's not, and we similarly are growing increasingly upset. In fact, we've encountered the effects of 2 million years of the upset search for knowledge. There comes a point where you have to resign yourself to reality, the reality of the world without, but very importantly, the world within. So resignation is basically just a super developed near autistic response to the issue of the human condition. It's just it's a mechanism for invulnerability. So you don't get taken back to the issue of the human condition, that you can't deal with that without understanding of it. So I and we all have a part of us that is just cringing in terror about the issue of the human condition. It's saying, don't make me look at it. I can't. So understanding the process of resignation and what it means to be resigned, and very importantly, that even though it is a completely dishonest, destructive, selfish state, it's okay to be resigned, is critically important in understanding how to take up the transformed state. And I suppose that brings me to the second part of my talk, which is to talk a bit about my own personal experience with encountering this magnificent, all-exciting breakthrough, yet about this subject, which is all confronting and historically in humanity's life and in my life completely off limits. In a lot of ways, experiencing the transformation that this information makes possible really is a matter of letting it. It's a matter of realising those macro truths we've talked above, but realising that they are true and applicable to you, and making the adjustment to let those truths in. As Jeremy's said, the human condition is an intensely personal subject, but we can now understand it's also a universal phenomenon that every human suffers from, and all our stories are explained and reconcilable to one another. A critical issue to understand, to make the adjustment, is to understand the fact that we are resigned. Our resigned way of thinking is just completely designed to avoid the issue of the human condition. It's mutually exclusive with the truths that the information can now you allow the benefit of. It's the truth in the information, its accountability, its absolute importance to the human race that makes you want to support it in the first place. But then you discover personally that you're resigned, that you have a mortal fear of the human condition, and you've developed your whole life and thinking framework around denying your reality, denying the ideals, and just living for superficial reinforcement, which are all completely at odds with the honesty that the information gets up and represents and allows you to have the benefit of. So you can get into a Mexican standoff with this information where you can't go forward because you're habituated and committed to your resigned ego castle, and you can't go back because you don't want to sell the truth about humans out because it's the only way forward for the human race. And so what's required is having a change of heart. And to explain that, it requires the abandonment of your commitment to your resigned self, and instead using the knowledge that's now available to understand that you're good, lovable and worthwhile even though you're upset. Jeremy's got a caption in there that goes with that thing, and it says, out of here, as in we can just leave all this, that world of having to egocentrically just bat away. The job of that is done, and we can just leave all that behind now by using this information, this knowledge that's been found. So to have that change of heart, to explain that, it requires the abandonment of your commitment to your resigned self, and instead using the knowledge that's now available to understand you're good, lovable and worthwhile even though you're upset. And the reason you can do that is because this information is the real reason you are good, lovable and worthwhile. Your resigned way of thinking is just completely redundant, obsolete, and has done its job. It really and truly is no longer necessary. It doesn't make sense, and it's not needed anymore to keep peddling its agenda of defiantly not accepting criticism from the ideals and madly trying to convince itself that it's good because it's a winner, etc. So even though it's massively destructive, even though it is a massively destructive, dishonest and fraudulent state, it was an absolute necessity before the human condition was solved. and I'm still resigned and I'm still full of the human condition. It's just that with this information, you can parent and reassure your arrested development, stranded and adolescence resigned self. And the funny thing about it all is that the bottom line of your resigned self is just trying to say I'm good. But in an immensely defensive, no-holds-barred, psychologically aggressive, extremely limited way that was only necessary before the explanation of the human condition was found. People say to me that I really emphasise the logic of the transformed state a lot. To me, it's all logical, but also my experience of the human condition is quite intense, and so it's important to me to be well-versed in and keep all the logics and arguments in my mind. To explain that, basically, we all get some version of the human condition for the imperfection of life that we have had to endure while then doing our best to participate and just living out the deeper truth that humans are good. Here's a picture that depicts what happens when children encounter too much in battle, have to prove yourself egocentric oppression from the previous generation. And that type of thing is rife now. And you can explain and defend all aspects of that terrifying picture using the Adam Stork story. So that guy was once, you know, a child, and it's just everyone's defended in that. It's all understandable how it all happened, but if you're faced with that type of situation, you'll either become, like Jeremy on the ground there, you either become psychologically crippled from it or turn into what we call a power addict, which is what happened to me. It's nobody's fault. It's just an extreme version of the human condition where you're just extra completely owned by the need to get a win and extra sensitive and tolerant of any criticism. Anyway, one of the realisations that I had along the way when I was in the Mexican standoff was that I do have this ability to be sensible if I want to be about the issue of the human condition, and that I don't have to be beholden to this resigned self. Which will take you away from being sensible about the issue of the human condition like a magnet being repelled. We can now explain why we're good in first principled irrefutable logic, so there's no need to keep going on with it. So if I wanted to be sensible, I could just run with that. But in our resigned, confused state, we can't even admit to ourselves what we are doing because it would just undermine our whole strategy. But once you use the information and understand that you are resigned, that it's okay to be resigned, that it's no longer necessary to go on with it, you can let the whole thing go and let the information take the burden of the issue of the human condition and deal with it for you. And all of a sudden, this massive preoccupation that you hardly realised you had is lifted. You go from being deeply ashamed of who you are to, at worst, not being ashamed of who you are anymore, to, at best, actually connecting with that you're deeply lovable and profoundly heroic. Your condition is explained and accounted for as a part of humanity's immensely paradoxical, brave journey from ignorance to enlightenment. And it's all true. That's virtually all you need to know, is that you're good, you're upset, but you're good. And you actually, the thing I just love about it is you can't argue with the logic. There's just no other conclusion that Adam Stork and humanity have been heroic and good and right, even though we're just massively upset. You can try and argue that Adam Stork was wrong for flying off course or wrong for getting upset, but you'll actually lose that argument. We do need to put down the sword and move on from the battle and its destructive effects. And we can and should now because it's all completely defended. So all of a sudden, everything makes sense, including that it's true that as a species, we once lived in the Garden of Eden. And personally, we once had some access to that before we resigned, and that this information really is the end of that journey, and that it really is all over, and that humanity really is coming home, all you really have to do is be sensible and rational and abandon the now obsoleted technology of the resigned way of thinking and just do anything to help this project, and it will save the world. And you realise that no one's free until we're all free, and you just want everybody to catch on to this information. The goodness that it has brought about and will bring about is just ridiculous. It's just everything everyone ever wished for. You can near explode when you let yourself feel it. So every problem you look at, whether it's yourself, some other egomaniac, any article in any newspaper, just any problem you look at, and there are just endless numbers of them, it can all be solved by supporting this information that defends humans, allows them to put down the sword, understand that the great battle is over and that we are now free to bring about the we've virtually never let ourselves dreamt of new world. We're finally all going to be united with the one goal of fixing up the world and freeing the planet from the human condition. Because the battle to champion the ego is won now, everyone can come in from the cold and be together in the Sunshine Army on the Sunshine Highway to the world in sunshine. Another aspect of all this that I just love thinking about is that the colossal pain and angst and frustration of being misunderstood as bad when we know we're good can end with us. That's the upset and all the pain will start to rapidly subside now. If everyone having a bout of being bluffed, so that's this bit here. We're on this bit of the chart there. It stops with us. If everyone having a bout of being bluffed by the resigned world within me or all around us at present, I always remind myself of this, that the things that my resigned self think are so important in its completely imprisoned, cave-dwelling, only paltry sticks to play with, denial-ridden, fraudulent, but immensely heroic and previously necessary, but now obsolete and redundant state, is all just a false construct that we developed to cope with the horror of the human condition. It's just not real. We can just move on from it. And it can all stop with us. It won't exist in the future. People won't have to suffer it. They won't have to endure it. And as Jeremy's talked about somewhere, in the future, they might have a museum where you can go and put headphones on to see what the world was like before the human condition was solved. And dead set people will put them on for a second and then throw them off their heads. It's so horrible. So we're there on that chart. And as Jeremy said in his first book, Free the End of the Human Condition, published in 1988, we have nothing to prove anymore, only something to achieve. And going over that bridge, over the chasm of depression, over the issue of the human condition, is going to take humanity up that back to where it came from. So in coming to the end of this talk, I just can't emphasise enough just how full of the human condition we are. I just can't emphasise enough how much this information takes care of it and loves that. And I just can't emphasise enough how exciting it is to be able to support this information that ends the human condition and will so solve every problem that the world has. So as Jeremy says, it's not that hard to take up the transformed state. It's just a matter of seeing the situation and opportunity for what it is. Yeah, because part of the excitement of this job is that because people looking on can kind of go, oh, you know, that's going to be a slow, arduous job, you know. You're going to be fighting to have every person, get their head around this and move from whatever their egomania is to, you know, to just forgetting that and just supporting this. There's a prophet in the Bible called Joel that Jeremy's written about and whatever, which is, and it makes a lot of sense what he said. He basically looked forward to the time when the human condition was resolved and talked about it's just going to be so unbelievably exciting that it's, I forget the words. So they're going to come over rooftops and just everyone.
Shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, shoulder to shoulder. It's going to be. That was Joel's vision. Jeremy's got a similar vision of where he says, you know, there's going to be humans from one end of the horizon to the other and their weapon will be to fight human suffering and their weapon will be understanding. And it makes sense that will happen and that because we are just so battle-weary and so dead, you know, we can hardly feel anything anymore. And the excitement just in our group, you know, in terms of because once you get the transformed state, you can see how it works viewed, you can see how it works in the world, and you know the human condition is finished. You know that every problem that there is going to be fixed. You know that the future won't suffer, and you know there's no impediments to that happening. All that needs to happen is that you know, this information supported and it does the work. And anyway, in terms of what, you know, Annie was just saying about, yeah. Jeremy calls it the Joel effect, you know, which is
great.
You know, that it just takes, it'll just take a bit of getting, a bit of momentum, and then it's just going to take off. And we're just going to have to pitch ourselves. It's going to be just so unbelievably, just everything you ever wanted, and everything that ever human ever wanted, and it's actually here. It's anyway, there just aren't words to describe it. You just can't describe it. You can anyway. I was going to read this thing out at the end of my talk. I just couldn't because I just knew I, just in terms of the positives that we haven't been able to have, and of just togetherness and anyway, I was going to read this out. I'll just quickly read it on Christmas time. My nephew was playing the piano and he's playing this song and his mum was sort of sitting next to him just crying, and I looked the song up, and it's this song called "The World in Union." It's actually they use it for the Rugby Union World Cup, but I think I've read it out before somewhere. But it's just, if you want to know, if you want confirmation what the human story is actually about, that we did once live innocent and we did become corrupt and we lost that and we were searching for the understanding so we could return to that state, then just look at the lyrics of any song that you love and that inspires you. But yeah, the words of this, I think it's an African hymn, but it says, there's a dream I feel so rare, so real. All the world in union, the world is one. Gathering together, one mind, one heart, every creed, every colour, once joined, never apart. And that's what's coming. It's here, actually. It's actually here. And, you know, thank goodness there's actually something practical that we need to do, because if you just sit with that and try and just cope with just the goodness that this information brings about, at the end of the day, is, you know, like Camus said, you know, big jobs, just as in, they just take a long time, and that's the goal of this job, it has taken a fair while, and it might take a little bit longer, but thank God there is something to do, you know, so you can actually sort of
apply yourself
and just
support the information, get it out, keep it alive,
rather than just evaporate in a pool of excitement kind of thing. You know, because it's I reckon it's dead set going to be, you know, just people again, like Prue Westbrook talked about, people are just going to get too excited and have to have some way of coping with it, like. And like Tony said, you can't see how bad it is until you're free of it. You dead set convince yourself, because we just haven't been able to have the positives of a normal, sound life, you know, just being banished into Plato's cave. You've got to convince yourself that it's great, you know, and you can't see, you know, it's like Jeremy said, you couldn't design a worse torture. And that's what we've lived with. And that is finished, you know. But you can't see how bad it is until, because when you first encounter this information, you know it's like Plato's got that analogy of, you know, humans living in a cave, you know, deep underground, and just chained up with their back to the light, just, you know, deep underground, looking at pictures of reflections, shadows of, you know, stuff on a wall. And that's just such a good metaphor for psychologically, you know, where we live, where humans live, when we haven't been able to understand the human condition, we resign, and that's the world we live in. And it's impossible sort of to describe how terrible it is. But because we had no option but to do that, but to, you know, just defend ourselves and just to become angry, egocentric and alienated as the only responses available to us. We made as much positives out of it as you can. So, you know, for blokes, it's the adventure. For girls, it's being pretty. You know, but basically we just, there's literally like the lights were just shut, you know, just turned off, and the keys chucked away, and we found a fucking rat in the corner, and said, I'll make my life out of, you know, grooming rats, or, you know, and go, that's just fantastic, it's great, and, you know. And so the absolutely best thing in the old world, going to a rock concert, or, you know, your footy team winning the competition or whatever, is in truth just absolutely, just an incredibly poor substitute for being able to understand yourself. We just did it as a holding pattern. We just did it as a for what we had to do while we accumulated knowledge to get to this day and get us the hell out of there. And when you encounter this information, you don't, you know, it's funny. It's like Connor was saying, it is, it's funny. It is just an adjustment. It's such a ridiculous, it's so negative to so positive. It just seems amazing that it would require any adjustment at all, sort of getting used to it. But nevertheless, the reality, the reason that's the case is because we did live in that cave, because we didn't have any understanding. So it's just like, you know, humans before we didn't understand thunder and lightning, they sacrificed their children. It's going to take a lot, as in that's how terrified they were of that issue, of thunder and lightning. It's going to take a lot of reassurance and stuff to go, look, when thunder and lightning happens, you don't have to kill your kids. It's just, you know, whatever it is. And you go, you know, are you sure? That looks really angry. I feel like killing one of my kids, you know, because I feel like I'm in trouble. You go, no, you don't have to, you know. It's a situation we're absolutely terrified of. And that's why, it's a bit of an adjustment for the human race on the macro, which will take, you know, whatever it takes. And for each of us personally, you know, it takes a bit of time because we live in mortal fear of the issue of the human condition. And we have resigned to cope. And so even though we've got a sensible self that can hear this information and that can understand the logic in it and that desperately wants it to succeed, we're just sort of waylaid by this commitment to this resigned self that all humans for all time have had to be committed to, and so we're really committed to it, and it just takes a while to just have the fabulous realization that it's all over. You don't have to. Not only, and it's not, you know, it's just extraordinary, you know, that it's all over, and it's nothing like anything that's ever been before. It's just, this is the culmination, you know, of 2 million years of conscious effort. And that's what it is. It's just amazing. And it's not that we're sound again. You know, it's what's amazing, I reckon, is just how that journey went on for just donkey's years. You can't get your head around how long it went on for.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And we are, that is us. We are the 2 million, we are humans who have been suffering from the human condition for 2 million years. We are just completely wrecked. And that you'd think, oh, well, surely it's going to take at least another 2 million years, you know? And that those people will be useless. You might as well just put them straight into the museum.
Yeah.
But what's amazing is just how, yeah, we don't become sound again. It's just that, you know, we're highly compromised and all that stuff, just messed up people, you know, but it's supporting that this information's perfect, it's sound, and there's nothing to add to it. Jeremy's doing that, you know, continuing to. That's all humanity needs, is this information. And all you need to do is help it. And whether that means, you know, that you mow the lawn or just whatever it is, you know, that it's helping that. And so the effect of what you're doing is sound, even though you're a wreck, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Sure, you're a lot more sort of not as dysfunctional as you used to be because you've got an awareness of it. But, it's just the most extraordinary deal, you know, that
massive negative into a massive positive, yeah, like trying to express before.
It's a get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
You're just going, you've been, you know, you are one corrupt human, welcome aboard. What do you want to do? You know, what do you want to do to help? You know what I mean? It's just amazing.
It's unconditional.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I was just thinking about what Tony Gowing and Prue Westbrook were just talking about. In Prue Westbrook's affirmations, he said, there'll come a point where we're just not even talking about the human condition anymore. So where this project's up to, one of the priorities, you know, is developing the transformed state, getting, you know, how to do it and whatever. And that's, you know, why, where there's resources going into that. But once that's up and running, you know, then it would just be, what will be happening is people will be discussing, you know, how do we fix the world? You know, what do we do next? Do we, you know, we've got 10 million people want to come and help clean up the rubble. You know, what are we talking about? This is just sort of the, we're kind of, you know, sitting here talking about a way of living, but just because it needs to be developed and you know, but there'll come a point when it is developed,
yeah,
and it, yeah, it will have a life of its own, and it'll be a department or whatever, and people, you know, but there'll also be this huge thing going on where the world's just being fixed up, you know, like, and it won't be, everyone will just be transformed. Yeah, yeah, I know how to do that. Just yeah, give me something to do. Just, you know, whatever it is, I'll take care of it, you know.
Step in the process. Essentially, all that's got to happen is people just got to sit children down and tell them the Adam Stork story. You know, that's it. And be honest enough to say that Adam's me, and this is all the terrible shit that I'm going to inflict on you. But really, don't look at me. Just look at this story, and I'll, you know.
Yeah, okay, thanks. That's more makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
I love you for it. Good on you for doing it.
Yeah.
It's all your fault. No, you know, like, it's just all, there's no problems any way you look at it. But yeah, if you wouldn't mind just letting me hang out with my childhood buddies.
Yeah.